I am Dave. I'm Dave Painter. I am originally from Pennsylvania. I moved to the Washington, D.C. area when I was 21. I took all of my painter skills and my drywall plastering skills there and excelled greatly. And then I moved to Rhode Island in 2002 to be with a lady. And since then, I have been blessed to work in some of the most amazing homes and structures, maybe on the planet. Yeah, this being one of them. Yeah. I love that old homes have real character. Their doors and their windows have character. The materials that they built them out of is so much better and so much prettier than what houses are today. Houses also have a way of breathing. They have an entity. They expand and contract and breathe. They actually have a life of their own. And I think older houses express that life even more than your brand new home. So I like that old homes have life. They have a feel about them. I don't know if it's the materials, the wood, or maybe it's the history that was here. I don't know. But that's what I like about old houses. Yeah. It's been an honor to work here and to see all these beautiful, sometimes overlooked details, you know. And still every day I notice something I didn't really notice before. You know, it's like, oh, that piece of trim has a little flower on it. Wow. You know, new houses just don't have that, you know. They could. They don't, but but yeah, those are the things I really love about old houses. You know, it's the detail, it's the it's the quality of materials, it's the visible quality that was put into it, the time that it took to actually make it, sometimes by hand. And there's so much of that here. Everything was so custom made. And this house was so far in advance for its time. So this house is especially a treasure trove of, you know, interesting tidbits of stuff. I've always had a love for old homes and old stuff since I've been a little guy. So it was a natural progression of just the more I worked in old homes, the more I liked it, the more I learned how to repair plaster and all the little things that it really takes to make it stay there and look right. When you fix an old house, there's always something else that needs fixed too besides the plaster. And then there's woodwork, and then there's floors, and then there's painting, and then there's all kinds of different stuff involved. So I've learned over the years all these different things. So all that combined has kind of been my OJT, as it were. So no real training, as it were. Like anybody, when you really are into something, you want to know more and more and more about it, because that's what you love and that's what you do and that's what you want to know about, you know. So for me, yeah, last 20 years I've been self-educating myself on architectural styles and architectural elements of certain periods, and when these styles were popular and where they were most popular, and how they were incorporated into not only houses but commercial properties as well. And there's, you know, even today I learn, you know, something every day when I read about, you know, Providence. Yeah, the history is amazing. I've never apprenticed for anybody per se, but I have worked with some really squared away old dudes, as it were, you know, that have, you know, certainly passed along some, you know, wisdom and knowledge, you know, just on, you know, about a technique or a type of product or how you use a product. You know, you learn from them old guys. You know. And I still think back, like, oh, yeah, I remember you told me that. Yeah. You know, when I have people help me, when I need a helper, it's always fun to kind of show them things, you know. Some people learn better than others, and some people just like it better than others, as it were. You know, not everybody, you know, yes, everybody can paint, but not everybody can really paint, you know. You know, you kind of either have it or you don't, you know. All those do-it-yourself shows, they forget to point out that it does take a bit of talent and skill. Like, you know, yes, you can do it yourself, but, you know, you have to have some skill too, sorry, for it really to turn out. I'm always excited to touch the windows, regardless of what window it is. The floors, although brutal in the amount of time that it took to do them, being on your hands and knees, they were probably one of the coolest things I've done here, and one of the most visible to everyone. You know, I've done many things here, but everybody can see the floors. You know, there's so many things I've done here that, you know, some of the windows you'll never get to see because they're, you know, up two flights of stairs behind a stained glass door, and, you know. But, so the floors, I think, were one of the greatest things I've done here. And some little things like carving special molding pieces that, you know, I carved by hand and put back. That's always fun to do. And to know that your artwork, your carving, as it were, is going to be part of the house for the next 150 years, hopefully, you know. So all of those kind of things were really fun to do. They look tired and worn. Most of them were void of any finish at all. And what finish was there was wax. The thought was, well, we'll just wax them, that'll make them shiny. But it didn't really work. Good thought, but so they had to be completely stripped down. Just the foyer alone, I spent 2 weeks stripping off the finish and 8 weeks cleaning out the cracks with a razor blade and a vacuum cleaner. Pretty brutal, but it is amazingly rewarding at the end of the project when you step back and go, wow, that's awesome, you know. And I remember the night that I finished that, like standing like in the doorway, like, whoa, dude, that's awesome. Take pictures, like, you know. But yeah, you know, it's just cool to see so many things that have been here and been used for 150 or 250 years, and to think of, you know, how many little butts slid down the banister, you know, right? Like, how many, you know, how many kids were born here? How many, you know, how many people died here, you know? Right? You know, how many people experienced their first love or their, right? Learned how to tie their shoes right here in this room, you know? And when you look at it like that, it makes historic places is so much more valuable when you realize how much history walked on the same floor that you're walking on, you know, or touching the same doorknob that Henry himself touched, you know. The guys that actually painted this place, you know, the ceilings and the walls and is really quite elaborate and just over the top in so many ways. Those guys I think about, yeah. You know, kind of the same brutal day after day that I spent on the floors. They did looking up at the ceiling or, you know, putting gold leaf on these walls. So yes, I do think about the guys that built this house without screw guns, without nail guns, with, you know, without the lift to get them to the second floor. Yeah. So, you know, working back then was a lot more laborsome, as it were, than it is today. And unfortunately, in an old house, sometimes you can't use modern stuff anyway. So I too have to resort to old school methods, as it were. Well, a lot of stuff with windows, you can't really fake it. You know, when you glaze a window, there's not a machine you can buy, and there's not a cool nifty, well, there is, but none of them work. And it's probably one of my highest skill sets as a painter, a restoration guy, being able to glaze a window and do it nicely every time. It does take a lot of patience, and it was one of those things I didn't learn in a day, and I probably couldn't teach you in a day. Again, it's one of those things that you either have the eye and hand coordination that you need, or you don't, you know. The part of the window on the outside that holds the glass in is the glazing. So it's essentially a putty. The original old school method is whiting and linseed oil. They still make that. There's a company that still does produce that, which all these windows now have. It's the original type of glazing that it would have had. So that's an old school method. When I point up any bricks or stones around the properties that we have, I use lime mortar. Again, very old school method of, and I do that because new cements like Portland cements will split the bricks because they don't breathe and move like a lime-based mortar does. So it ends up delaminating your brick, which is what happens on many old houses because, you know, Bob the mason comes and, oh yeah, we'll put some cement in there, no worries. And he often ruins things by doing that. So those are old school methods of things that I do, and which work better in an old house. You know?
Houses like this.
The hardest thing probably is the fact that everything is custom made, so it's not like you can run to the Home Depot and go, oh, I'll just get one of those little what's-it thingies for on the end of the little thingy. Yeah, they don't make them anymore. You know what I mean? It's so that's one tough thing. Also, when you have to fix and repair something, more times than not, it's a huge can of worms just waiting to be opened. So what you thought would take 2 hours may take 2 days. So that's often. And of course, buyers of homes that are old often learn of all of those hidden things that you didn't know you were going to have to deal with.
What kind of house do you live in?
I live in an 1889 Victorian. It was originally a one family house. It's now four apartments, which was very popular in the 1930s. During the Depression, especially here, where the Depression was really bad. Not that it wasn't bad nationwide, but because we had so many people and so many industries just kind of fell all at once, it was really bad here. So many people had to split their house up and rent out floors just to eat, to feed their kids and pay their bills, and we still do that today, right? I think the fact that everything is so amazingly grand, the doors themselves are 4 foot by 9.5 foot doors. They're massive. The windows are almost 4 by 8. They're massive. Everything is just so big and grand, the moldings are 10 inches wide. So that's very different from, working on my meager 1889 Victorian. Again, everything's grand. The cornices are grand. The brackets are grand. Everything is huge and big. And I think this house was built to not only be, to have a statement, as it were, and have the grandness, as it were, but it's a very stately house. It's not a Queen Anne. It's not frilly and fancy, but it does have a great amount of, embellishments and moldings and trims that really, make this house quite special. Windows and ceilings. I think people forget that, the ceiling in your room, whatever room that be, is the biggest wall you have. And we, more times than not, paint them white, which is boring and doesn't do much for the rest of the room, really. So yes, I would say doors and windows and the ceilings in your house are probably the most overlooked and forgotten about. My first restoration project, a 1940s runner sled. It was red, and like most runner sleds. And I found it in the barn. I asked if I could have it. Can I keep this? And sure. So I painted it blue. I remember I sanded it all down, and I taped everything off and primed it, and stained the wood all dark instead of light like everybody else's. I was like the hippest thing in the snow at the time. It was kind of cool. So I think I was 12, maybe, or so, 11, 12. And I've been restoring stuff ever since. When I don't restore houses, I restore antique furniture, antique toys, anything old. Normally the most intricate and time-consuming and ridiculously, just so time-consuming that most people would be like, nah. That's the stuff I do. Why? I don't know.